We read God's holy word this morning from John 6, John chapter 6. We'll read the first 15 verses and then pick it up again at verse 24 and read through verse 31. John 6, beginning at verse 1, as we expound the fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer, give us this day our daily bread. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, and every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves, 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? And Jesus said, Make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down. And likewise of the fishes as much as they would. And when they were filled, he said unto his disciples, Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, This is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. And now skip down to verse 24. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum, seeking for Jesus. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me, not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. Then said they unto him, What shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. They said therefore unto him, What sign showest thou then that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not the bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. We read God's word to that point this morning on the basis of that passage, many others, Old and New Testaments. The Heidelberg Catechism explains very concisely, beautifully, the fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer in Lord's Day 50, page 26 in the back of your Psalter, Lord's Day 50, which is the fourth petition. Give us this day our daily bread, that is, be pleased to provide us with all things necessary for the body, that we may thereby acknowledge thee to be the only fountain of all good, and that neither our care nor industry nor even thy gifts can profit us without thy blessing, and therefore that we may withdraw our trust from all creatures and place it alone in thee. Beloved of God, with the fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer, the Lord Jesus Christ, who himself taught this prayer, teaches his people to pray to God for their earthly needs. To look up to their Father with childlike confidence in him and say, Father, provide for my earthly needs. Not only my spiritual needs, but also now my earthly needs. Some of the early church fathers, not all of them, and not even the majority of them, but some of them thought that the fourth petition, praying for bread, could only refer to praying for Jesus as the bread of life and not for praying for earthly physical bread to eat. They argued that Jesus, who's teaching us to pray this prayer, is the king of the spiritual kingdom. And he would never have taught us to pray for something so menial and material as bread. And they said, besides that, if this was a request for physical bread, it would be the only petition out of all the six that has us ask for something earthly. The first three petitions, all spiritual, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And then the fifth and the sixth petitions, spiritual too. Forgive us our trespasses and deliver us from the evil one. Surely this fourth petition too then must not really have anything to do with just earthly bread, but is about the bread of life, Jesus Christ. Though those few church fathers, again, it wasn't all of them or even the majority of them, had a certain right instinct towards the spiritual over the earthly, certainly they went too far. As Lord's Day 9 of the Catechism puts it correctly, God provides all things necessary for the soul and for the body. He is our Father all the way, and everything that we need, we must look to him for the things that we need for our body as well as our soul. Certainly, there's something to be said about the fact that five out of the six petitions are for spiritual things. The emphasis is on the spiritual, and the priority of the spiritual over the earthly is certainly there in the Lord's Prayer. But would we not expect that our Lord Jesus Christ, who teaches this prayer and who himself walked upon this earth and who himself needed daily bread to stay alive, in order to hallow the name of his Father upon earth, in order that the kingdom might come, in order to perform God's will, that he would then teach us to pray for that daily bread from God for the same reasons, that we might live upon this earth, hallowing his name, honoring his will, living as his kingdom comes. So the Catechism expounds the fourth petition as referring to bread that he provides for the body. That's why the Lord Jesus, though he spent himself to teach that he is the bread of life, the spiritual bread of life come down from heaven, still feeds the 5,000 on the hillside who have expressed interest in his teaching. By doing so, and doing so miraculously on that occasion, he modeled the fact that God provides daily bread. He certainly also modeled the fact that the spiritual takes top priority over the physical. He modeled that day, the five over the one. As Jesus provides for the 5,000 earthly bread, they begin to think to themselves, this guy should be the king. We'll never have to work a day again in our lives. He can just make bread appear in abundance. And the Lord Jesus says to them, well, first he withdraws from them, and then when they follow him to the other side of the sea, he says to them, all you want is bread. That's all you care about. You don't want the true bread that comes down from heaven. He scolds them. He reprimands them. By the way he handles the 5,000, the Lord Jesus shows us both that God delights in providing for the daily needs of his people, but then he also shows that the spiritual must take priority over the earthly, and that even daily bread, even food, is not an end in itself, but is to provide me with physical strength so that I live for his glory, so that I live in his kingdom, so that I live obeying his will upon this earth. And we must understand that too, as we live in his world and pray rightly, asking God for daily bread. Let's notice first this morning the giver of whom we are asking this. Second, the gift, daily bread. Third, the ultimate reality that this points to, Christ, the bread of life. And getting at the first point of the sermon, that all our physical provisions come from God, our Heavenly Father, let me ask you and ask myself this question. You, child of God, speaking to children of God, when you sit down to a meal, take this morning, what did you eat this morning? When you sat down and had a bowl of cereal or whatever else it was, a cup of coffee, coffee cake, whatever it was, when you ate your food this morning, did it ever cross your mind? And does it ever cross your mind? This comes to me from my Father. My Father provided this for me. And he provided this for me right here because he loves me. If it never does, or if it rarely does, then you need to pray this petition. And I need to pray this petition, and we need to hear this petition expounded over and over and over again. That's the significance of the fact that Jesus teaches us to pray looking up to God. God, thou must give us our daily bread. The child of God is looking up to Father in this petition, saying, I know that thou art a Father who is sovereign over all things and who loves his children, and so I pray, Father, grant what I need, and when thou dost grant what I need, and it is there in front of me in that bowl of cereal or whatever else, that it is there in front of me because thou art being a father to me and because thou dost send it to me in love. The praying of the petition reminds me of this. It reminds me of that by reminding me, first of all, that this God to whom I am praying is the sovereign of the universe, who alone can provide daily bread to me. The sovereign God who alone himself does not depend upon bread or anything else outside of himself in any way, shape, or form. The God who is self-sufficient and utterly independent. We have strings, as it were, attached to us from us outside of ourselves to all these other things upon which we depend and ultimately to him. He has no strings. All of them are cut. He exists alone, entirely self-sufficient, needs nothing. And everything that we need is something that he has created and provided for us. All the resources that are in the earth, mineral, soil, water, all of it is from him. and all of it depends upon him to continue in its existence. And all of it is distributed to him in places according to his will and gotten out of the earth and used in accord with his will. Therefore, all goods, all services are under his sovereign control. He is distributing them all according to his sovereign plan and wise counsel. And by doing so, he is able to give his children exactly what they need every day. Second, praying this petition reminds me that this sovereign God of all the universe, this independent being who upholds everything, is using all of his sovereignty for the good of his people in Jesus Christ. The Lord has already taught us to pray, "Our Father who art in heaven, our Father, give us this day our daily bread." In Jesus Christ, the sovereign God is known to me as my Father, who has an attitude of fatherly kindness and love to me. He's proved that in the cross of Jesus Christ. I see his fatherly care for me there ultimately, when as a father, he's given me what is necessary for my soul to redeem me and to have me with him in his family as an adopted son or daughter. And arguing from the greater to the lesser, as the apostle does in Romans chapter 8, if he has not spared his own son, but delivered him up, how shall he not with him also give us all things? Shall not he also take a fatherly attitude towards me to give me the lesser things that I need, daily bread, things necessary for the body until he determines that I go home to be with him? In all of his sovereign power, he is working to provide for the needs of his children. He gives good gifts to all, certainly, but only in Jesus Christ can I look up and see he gives that good gift as a father in love for me. I can see love in that cereal bowl. Now, if you say, "It's all well and good, but he didn't reach down from heaven with his hand and put it there in front of me." And if I say to you, "Have you ever not had a bowl of cereal in front of you when you needed it? Has there ever been a day when he hasn't provided your daily bread?" And I say to you, don't you think you ought to thank him for that every moment of every day? That's evidence that he's answered this petition, that he keeps this promise to his people, and you respond to that thinking, yeah, but... but that's mostly because I work really hard, and it's mostly because I live in this country and not in Zimbabwe. And there's a second reason why you and I need to pray this petition repeatedly and hear it explained to us regularly throughout our life. To remember that this sovereign God who's providing all of this for his people in Jesus Christ is a father with an attitude of love for them, so that I see love in that's in front of me. That he does this through means that he has ordained. But when he does it through the means he has ordained, it's still him doing it. It's him directly from him, as though he reaches his hand down and places it upon your table in front of you. Yes, he used miraculous means to do it, and it's easier to see that that's him in those situations. He provided miraculously for that 5,000 on the grassy knoll. And in that situation, it's obvious to say, "My Father has provided this for me." But what about all the days before that and all the days after that when he provided daily bread through the regular means? That's still him. There are the so-called natural means that he uses, rain and sunshine that he provides to grow things out of the earth, to provide for our necessities. They're the so-called unnatural means upon the earth that he has ordained. Politics and policies of politicians, economic factors and relationships, tariffs and no tariffs, relationships between nations, war and peace, all of this is under the sovereign control of my Father and is part of the means that he uses to distribute to his people as he sees fit. And he's always working in all of it so that my daily bread is provided. As a father who loves me in the midst of all the billions of things that are happening and all of the politics and all the political blogs that you read about of what's happening in the politics and all of it, he's working so that that bowl of cereal is for me on this table as a father who loves me. Sometimes you can see this astoundingly in the fact that he's working through all these things and you didn't even know it. And he brings you to a situation where you have a need, a real and dire need. And then that need is provided for by him. And there you realize at that moment that he had been arranging things all along the way and I wasn't even aware of it. I wasn't even aware of the need I was going to have, so that when that need come, there's the provision lined up. Like for Jacob and his family during the famine when Joseph was second command in Egypt. God sent a famine to that whole portion of the world, and old Jacob and his sons and their families had no idea where their next meal was going to come from, and little did they know that God, who sent the famine into the world in judgment for sin, had also been stockpiling corn for Jacob and his boys and their families in Egypt through Joseph long before. Because God never forgets the objects of his electing love. He teaches them to pray to him for daily bread, and he provides that daily bread for them in their providence, in his providence. The last thing Jacob would have ever thought is that the means God would use to answer his prayer for daily bread would be the means of his own son, Joseph, whom he thought was dead already, and who it turns out had long ago been sold into slavery by his own brothers, and who now is second in command in Egypt, and that's what God would use, that's what he'd been planning all along to provide for his daily needs. And to provide the Messiah, for Christ was in the loins of Judah, one of Jacob's sons even then, and he must stay alive. But on a smaller scale, how many times can't God's people recount this? The faithfulness of God to provide when the moment comes and there's difficulty, and there's a real genuine need here. And before we even realized that there was going to be that genuine need, God had been working way back then to provide for that need already. He's Father. And through his means that he has ordained in his carrying out of his providence in this world, he is loving his people by giving them their physical needs. Of course, the main means that God uses to do that is work. Work. That's the normal, regular means he uses to provide for us. And as he gives us strength and wisdom to contribute to the running of a society, we also receive a portion of that society's pie. So much so is this the regular God-ordained means by which he provides daily bread. And in 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 10, the Apostle Paul says that if a man will not work, neither shall he eat. Hear that carefully. If a man will not work, if he wills not to work, not if he cannot work, if he cannot work, he still should eat. but if he can work, but he wills not to. He says, I have the ability to work, I have the ability to contribute to this society, but I will not to. That man shall not eat. And the apostle takes it a step further in 2 Thessalonians, saying that that man should be excommunicated from the church if he continues in this unrepentantly. For God has commanded us to work by the sweat of our brow as the main means by which he provides. But even then, we still have to trace the line from our work back to him. God is still doing this. And God is still putting that with his hand reaching down from heaven onto my table in front of me. Even through this, children, it's like doing a dot to dot. If you do a dot to dot and you connect the dot to dots and then you stop halfway, you only have half the picture, right? You have to keep going and connect all the dots all the way to the end. If we stop with the means, we only have half the picture. We have to connect the dot back to God. Back to God, who gave you those abilities to work, who gave you the health and the strength, who gave you the opportunity, who gave you the family that you grew up in, and who can take it all away in a moment. It is him. Thus the apostle says, what do you have that you have not received? All that you have is from him. And through this, Father is himself making a reservation for you as his child at the table of earthly provisions. You may sometimes rain manna down from heaven. You may sometimes recruit the ravens to bring his people a morsel of bread. But more often, he works through the regular means, and that's still him. He's still Father. He's still providing. And when the Lord teaches me to pray this to him, I am reminded in the praying that he is the source of all that is necessary for my soul as well as for my body. And I pray to him in Christ, give, Father, to me as thou hast promised. Grant to me, thou art the source of provision for my needs. In Christ I see, thou dost provide in love for me. You see, child of God, the problem with us is that without ever explicitly saying the words out loud, we naturally don't pray this petition to God. We pray the fourth petition to the means themselves instead of to the God of the means. Naturally, we pray, give us this day our daily bread, to the means that he uses, and forget about the fact that he is the God who uses them. This is why the Catechism, very, very insightfully, very wisely, and very rightly discerning the sin in your heart and the sin in my heart, rightly says that in praying this, positively we are requesting to Father in trust. We are laying our trust upon him. And at the same time, negatively, in giving us to pray this, God is withdrawing our trust from earthly creatures. Be pleased. Lord's Day 50 says, be pleased to provide us with all things necessary for the body, that thereby we may acknowledge thee to be the fountain of all good. That's the positive. And therefore that we may withdraw our trust from all creatures, that in the praying of this, we may withdraw our trust from all creatures. And the implication of that is that that is naturally where our trust is. And it has to be withdrawn from that. Naturally, our trust is in all creatures. And in the praying of this, God withdraws it from that and places it upon him himself as the source of all that we need. The Christian life, astounding, isn't it? The Christian life is a battle in every respect. even with respect to a piece of toast in front of me? Where is my trust for that lie? In the creatures and in the means, or in the God who grants all of it? There is a temptation for you and me constantly that my trust in my heart, though I don't say it out loud, my trust in my heart, even if I'm mouthing the words, give us this day our daily bread, that the trust in my heart is in all creatures. The temptation is to trust in the government. Give us this day our daily bread, Donald Trump, and your fiscal responsibility. The government is part of the means that God uses to keep a society stable, to provide the opportunity to work. But more and more, as a right and true understanding of God recedes from people's consciousness, it's replaced with a trust in the government itself. Give, government, we pray. Give to us this day our daily bread. In the end, the Antichrist will take advantage of that mentality and trust in the government and use it to create a one-world government system that will replace God in the minds of men. There's a temptation to trust in our own accumulation of things, in our own wealth, in our own money, in our bank account, our own storehouses. In 1 Timothy 6, the apostle tells Timothy that he must keep preaching two warnings to the wealthy. That from his pulpit, don't stop, Timothy, preaching these two warnings. Number one, be not high-minded. Be not proud as though you are really something for what God himself has decided to give to you. And then secondly, keep teaching them not to trust in their riches. But I'm not rich. Well, there are people wealthier than you, of course. But understand that the vast majority of people on earth are a whole lot poorer than you. Almost half of the world's population lives on less than $2.50 a day. And even if we grant that $2.50 can buy you a lot more in other parts of the world than it can here, we still have been afforded a great wealth in God's providence in the big picture in comparison to the rest of the earth. And the admonitions of 1 Timothy 6 ought to be taken seriously by us, not just a handful of us, but by us. For this is precisely the temptation, is it not? God, who gives us the bounties of the earth, gives them to us to be received with thanksgiving and trust in Him and not in the things itself. We may have those things. We may enjoy what we have before Him. The Apostle Paul said, I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. And it's a spiritual challenge to be content in both situations. But the temptation is always that the more we have, the more we're tempted to trust in the abundance itself and not in the God of the abundance. And the things can be used in the hand of the evil one to lead us to pray, whether we're conscious of it or not, give to us that thing instead of give to us daily bread, Father. Bank account, dear bank account, grant me this day my daily bread. Insurance policy, dear insurance policy, grant me this day my daily bread. Investments, technology, my employer, give this day my daily bread. My own abilities, my own intelligence, my own ingenuity, grant to me this day my daily bread, and I will depend on no other than my own abilities in here. Dear mall, provide to me this day my daily bread. Dear Walmart, give to me this day my daily bread. And how quickly our trust can go from the God to the means that God uses. And instead of calling Jehovah, Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides, how easily, subconsciously, we begin to worship bank account Jireh. Five to 10% return on my IRA Jireh. Government Jireh. Plans for the future, Jireh. To whom are you praying this petition? In the very praying of it, he withdraws our trust from all creatures, sets it upon himself. We need to pray this. We need to pray the petition, give us this day our daily bread to him, not because we're worried about whether or not we will have food on the table tomorrow, but precisely because we're not worried about whether or not we'll have food on the table tomorrow. In the praying of it, he withdraws our trust from all creatures. How wonderful then, the Christian practice of praying before we eat, praying before meals, that we've learned from our youngest days up, where we look to him, thank him, seek provision from him, and our trust is withdrawn from ourselves and from all creatures and placed upon him. You know where that practice comes from, right? Comes from right here in John chapter 6 in verse 11, where the Lord himself carries out this practice in the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. Before he distributes the food to eat, he gives thanks to God. He prays thanks to God for the meal that is set before them. Verse 11, and acknowledges before all that God has provided this miracle I'm going to do. He's providing daily bread for his people. And we do that too every time we eat, and we ought to. It's a good practice, and this is a good practice too, that we teach our children and we pray before we eat, not only Lord, thanks and Lord, provide, but Lord, bless this food too. Children, that's what you learned to say, a lot of you, right? Lord, bless this food. That's a wonderful thing, and that comes directly from the Lord Jesus too. Not here, but in Luke 24, verse 30, where he blessed the food before a meal. How wonderful and how necessary that is too. For the Catechism so insightfully reminds us that none of God's gifts can profit us without his blessing. The wisdom of our Reformed fathers here is so great. They recognized, along with Asaph in Psalm 73, that God's blessings are not automatically found in things themselves. We acknowledge, the Catechism says, that neither our care, nor our industry, nor even thy gifts can profit us without thy blessing. That the gifts and the blessing are two different things, and that one may have all the good gifts and not have the blessing. And therefore we pray, Father, provide for us this blessing. Send blessing along with it. Don't just give me food to eat, but send grace and blessing too, that it become a blessing to me. Provide. Provide, Father. As a father, give this to me and send grace with it. All blessing is found in Jesus Christ. There is no blessing to be found outside of Jesus Christ. So that I sit at this meal in Jesus Christ and call thee my Father and withdraw all trust from anything else and see that this provision and the blessing along with it that it is for me comes from thee, my Father, and in love for me, this toast, this cereal, this chicken, this roast. My Father loves me. He loves me. So the petition reminds us to see my earthly provision in front of me from the hand of God Himself, who in Jesus Christ loves me. It also helps me when I think about the future and my daily needs. And I think about asking Him, what about tomorrow? Daily, and the day after that, and the day after that. What do I ask Him for exactly? How much do I ask Him for? Daily bread. All things necessary for the body. Give bread, Father. Even if you've given more than bread in the past, when I think about the future and the next day and the day after that, this is all I ask of Thee. Bread, Father, give me bread. Maybe He'll give me more than that again tomorrow. But I don't ask for more. I just ask for bread, daily bread. Bread, as you know, is a basic necessity. Every culture makes some form of bread as its staple food, whether it's in a roll or a loaf or a tortilla or a cake or a puri. It's the basic necessity of life, and therefore it stands here as a representation of the basic necessities of the food that we need, of the drink that we need, of the warmth that we need, shelter from the elements that we need, sanitary conditions that we need, medical supply and aid that we need. Things basic to survival in this world. We're praying for these things daily. He might choose to give me a storehouse full for the next month. But when I think about tomorrow and the next day after that, I'm not asking for that. He may have done that in the past. He may do it in the future, but I'm not asking for that. But for what I need for today, there are times when He has His people live day to day. On the Exodus from Egypt to Canaan, manna came day to day, and they couldn't take more than what was needed for the day. In the book of Acts, the church in Jerusalem was utterly, utterly impoverished. And they had to distribute daily to the widows in need. Daily their needs were provided. There's plenty of times where that's not the case in Scripture. When the Israelites ended up in Canaan, they had a wealth of abundance stored up, a land flowing with milk and honey. The other churches, not in Jerusalem, the churches established by the Apostle Paul, the Gentile churches, had much. Lydia had a house so big a whole church could meet together in it. But whatever He gives, whatever His will is, I only ask for what I need. Day by day. The petition reminds me to be content with that. To not be a spoiled child. He might give me more. He has in the past. And that's fine, and I'll receive that with thanksgiving. But I'm not going to ask Him for more than what I need. Can you do that? Honestly? How many times have you understood what you were praying in this petition? Felt the wrestling in your soul? But God, I don't know if I could do without all of this. Daily bread, Father, but please don't take this away from me. Give me more than daily bread. And praying this petition, we're led by the Spirit back to this too, to certainly be thankful for the abundance that we have received. It is from Him. It is from Him. And there's nothing more holy about not having it if He's given it. But to use it as He calls us to use it. And to hold on to the giver and not to the gifts. And to ask not for continuation of abundance, but for simply daily bread, and leave what He decides to do from there in His hands. How different this is from what's in our nature. How different this is from the world's pursuit, which is solely more, 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 more. How different this is from the view of the health and wealth gospel, where the prayer is prayed incessantly, more God, more, and where the things of this earth are not only tied to God's blessing, but are cemented to God's blessing, as though this is God's blessing and the only evidence of His blessing ever, and therefore pray for this, wealth and more health, and that's it, and that will be the sense of blessing in your life. But the child of God, as taught by the Lord Christ Himself and all of His Word, says, whatever I need, Father, give that to me. You can decide from there. But whatever I need, that's spirituality. That's godliness. He gives more than that in answer to that prayer. That's His business. Enjoy it, but don't need it. And you may have it as long as you don't need it. If you need it, it's becoming a curse and not a blessing. To make sure that you don't get to the point where you need it, He calls you to give a lot of it away generously. To the causes of His kingdom, church, school, whatever else, to those who will to work and yet still lack. Give, He says. Give until it hurts. Remember that God normally uses means to supply His daily bread to His people. One of those means we haven't talked about yet. One of them is that He might give more to you so that you might have the privilege of giving to help someone who needs as a gift to you. That He might give more to you so that you might be generous and be a conduit through which you support the causes of the kingdom more than another is able, to put your goods to work for eternal realities, things that last beyond. What a gift that is from Him. Don't forget those two other little words in this petition. Give us this day our daily bread. Jesus didn't teach us to pray, just give me my daily bread, but us and our. To think about this as we pray. How can the child of God pray, give us, the church, our daily bread? How can he pray that and yet refuse to be part of the means God has ordained to help those other parts of the body that have need? And together, we might be part of the way that he uses for the supplying of the needs of his people. All this we remember, all this comes to mind as we're taught to pray this petition, as we pray it. And then the Lord Jesus reminds us in the praying of this petition too, in light of his teaching in John 6, that as necessary as that physical bread is, and that's what this petition is mainly about, physical bread, the Lord reminds us that at the end of the day, that bread is still a picture. It points to a higher reality. Christ himself, the true bread, the bread of life in John 6, and that the ultimate reason why God created us as beings that need to eat physical bread every day is to give us a very real day-to-day picture of the fact that our greatest need is the bread of life, that he alone is truly satisfying, that he is our basic necessity, that he supplies our daily need, that we can eat him and never hunger again in our soul, that he provides in himself all the minerals, basic vitamins of salvation's blessing for a soul to be filled and to be satisfied, peace with God, communion with him, hope forever. And let me ask, What good is physical bread ultimately without that reality in my life? But having Him, the true bread from heaven, this secondary thing, important but secondary thing, this good of earthly bread is a real good. It's worth having. And in Him, it's a blessing to me, and the energy that I receive from it is energy worth having to serve Him, to live in His kingdom, to honor His name, to perform His will, to the praise of my Father, to be faithful as a citizen of His kingdom, to show forth glory and praises of His purposes in Christ. To live a life out of that physical bread that is worth living to Him. God grant this help to you in the praying of the fourth petition. Amen. Father in heaven, give us our daily bread. Withdraw our trust from all creatures. Set us, Father, upon this earth, seeing Thy love in every little thing Thou dost provide for us, and living out of it to the praise of the glory of Thy grace. In Jesus' name, amen.